So I think I'll begin a little bit, and I'll hear at Bing if she writes back to say she didn't make it. Otherwise, we'll see her. So, welcome to you all. I'm feeling like wanting to welcome to our gathering across the space that we span together in our homes, welcoming lots of other, countless other beings, sentient or non-sentient or quasi-sentient or mega-sentient, way more than us. Or who knows who's going to judge who is sentient or not? All the beings in all the directions, in all the times, of all the kinds, who make us up and who are here with us, and who wish for us to fully awaken. All welcome here and with gratitude. That for the way that we are all made of each other, present to each other in ways that we know and ways that we don't know. So I'm going to take one more peek to see if Shana made it on.
Sarah, she just emailed me, so I'll take care of it.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Thank you. That way I won't take care of it. just after preparing and spending time kind of happily getting ready for this meditation and this conversation, all of a sudden at the few minutes ago, I heard the Heart Sutra. I heard, listen, Shariputra, listen. All things are marked by emptiness, not born, not destroyed, not stained, not pure, without loss, without gain. And I heard it in a different way from ever before. Is that you, Shana? No. And that was, listen to this teaching of all things. This is how you listen to them. Anyway, we'll see whether that makes any sense to you as we go along. So rather than listen to this teaching, listen to me, I'm telling you this, it's listen to them, they are telling you this all the time. So I would like to give us a couple minutes, just a very brief, the bells will lead us into a brief silence, and then I'm going to say some things, and then we'll bring the koan into the meditation.
Thank you.
So a few observations, a few field notes to begin with. For one thing, I'm noticing, because you can hardly miss it, how the deluge of language coming at me, coming at us all the time. And I welcome it, and I'm comforted or alarmed or impelled, sometimes compelled. I'm listening, but often feel scattered, confused, riled up. There's a kind of turbulence in it, a kind of effortfulness, a little aggression, a sense of uneasiness with it. Where will a deeper wisdom come from? The question comes up for me. Can you hear me well enough? Sounds okay. Where will the wisdom come from that will help me integrate and then act from this integrity? Integrate what's happening. I notice that in meditation, in gardening, in rest, walking, eating, and the most basic stuff, bathing, peeing, and pooping, something different happens. And I've been drawn to koans, poems, art that is about this, that connects with that very basic realness. I'm curious about it. Like the one that just says, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes, grass grows by itself. If I put words on the teaching, it's kind of gross, you know? And yet, I feel that I hear it. I feel that I take it in. I feel that it changes me. It's not to do with agreeing or disagreeing or getting it or not getting it. Or like the mystery of the donkey sees the well sees the donkey. Yes, I can make explanations about how that is, something about how the vastness is responsive, but the wordless, intimate conversation of it, the deep sense of belonging that comes with it, is wordless, is thought-free. And there's something deeply refreshing about that. And there can even be, sometimes wordlessly, a sense that the character of the non-sentient world, even assuming anything is non-sentient, that those characters are expressing a gladness, a sort of, fortunately, I am here to do it, that doesn't exclude any of the suffering. Whatever made the tree bend in that way that it bent, whatever made that flower need to grow out of a crack in the concrete, that's not excluded. So then, when John Seed writes, "I am that part of the forest recently emerged into consciousness," he's not denying his humanness at all, or claiming to know what the rock says. It's deeper than that. Belonging runs deeper than that. He doesn't need to be persuaded of the intelligence of trees. That's irrelevant. And what about what we what we knew in our childhood or what was expressed. I've been revisiting some of my childhood favorite stories, and I'll read you this little passage. Some of you heard it early this morning. Emily of New Moon. Emily's father has died. Her mother had previously died. She's going to go off to live with aunts and uncles that she that don't seem very friendly for the most part. And it's a wrench. She has to leave her childhood home. So Emily said goodbye to everything, to the rooster pine and the trees that she called Adam and Eve. "They'll miss me so when I'm gone. There won't be anyone here to love them," she said wistfully to the spider crack in the kitchen window, to the old wing chair, to the bed of striped grass, to the silver birch ladies. Then she went upstairs to the window of her own old room. That little window had always seemed to Emily to open on a world of wonder. She had sat there and dreamed. At night, she used to kneel there and say her little prayers. Sometimes the stars shone through it. Sometimes the rain beat against it. Sometimes the little gray birds and swallows visited it. Sometimes airy fragrances floated in from apple and lilac blossom. Sometimes the wind woman laughed and sighed and sang and whistled round it. Emily had heard her there in the dark nights and in wild white winter storms. She did not say goodbye to the wind woman, for she knew the wind woman would be at New Moon too, but she said goodbye to the little window and the green hill she had loved. It's not that there's anything she needs to know about them, is it? That's kind of not the point. What about that? But our question, in a way, is about the intelligence of humans, of us. Can we hear each other? And how? Perhaps not exactly as we thought. How does the heart hear? How do your feet hear? What about all the non-sentient beings we're made of? Eyebrows, toes, mitochondria. How do we hear them? Not if, but how? Because sometimes we hear unexpectedly, and if we don't reject that hearing, something interesting happens. Earlier this spring, Joan Sutherland wrote, if I've got it right, "When the moon rises and fills your heart completely, where is there room for a self?" When the moon rises and fills your heart completely, where is there room for a self? I think maybe there's a clue there. And there's a clue in something that John Tarrant said this morning about a group of koans, that they want patience. They want fidelity. What if that's all that's needed to allow us to notice the teaching of the non-sentient that is already supporting our very being, bringing us joy right in the midst of our sorrows? And sometimes, as someone noticed this morning, pushing us to get on with things. Jeff quoted Hakuin this morning saying, "I'm not dead yet, but it will happen." You know, this is also the teaching of the non-sentient beings. And then lastly, I want to quote Martin Shaw, whose article about we're in the underworld has so affected me. A couple of things he said. One, climate change isn't a case to be made. It's a sound to be heard. We have to get good with our ears, he says, but I don't think he's, you know, necessarily just talking about our physical ears. Our eyes alert us to the wider situation, but it's our ears that alert us to the personal, the particular, the micro in the macro. And this is maybe something, so that's maybe something about what hearing the teachings of the non-sentient is like. It's like responsiveness to wonder. So those musings are just an offering to you as we settle in with this koan, and I'll give us a few minutes to just be in silent meditation, and then I'm actually going to drop in the longer story in which our koan is embedded. So it'll be a bit of storytelling. Longshan took the precepts when he was 21, and he visited a number of teachers. He had some questions that really mattered to him. So he was visiting Guishan and said to him, "I've heard that the national teacher Chung of Nanyang teaches that non-sentient beings expound the Dharma. I'm not yet understanding the subtleties of this teaching." Guishan said, "Can you remember the details of what you heard?" "Yes." "Then why don't you try to repeat it for me?" He began. A monk asked Huizheng, "What sort of thing is the mind of the ancient Buddhas?" The national teacher replied, "It's wall and tile rubble. Chuangzi, when asked in a chapter whether the Tao was found among the lowly, replied that the Tao exists in the crickets, in the grasses, in tiles and bricks, in shit and piss. So Dongshan goes on with his story. "Wall and tile rubble? Isn't that something non-sentient?" asked the monk. "It is," replied the national teacher. The monk said, "And yet it can expound the Dharma? It is constantly expounding it, radiantly expounding it, expounding it without ceasing," replied the national teacher. The monk asked, "Then why haven't I heard it?" The national teacher said, "You yourself haven't heard it, but this can't hinder those who are able to hear it." "What sort of person acquires such hearing?" asked the monk. "All the sages have acquired such hearing," replied the national teacher. The monk asked, "Can you hear it?" "No, I can't," replied the national teacher. The monk said, "If you haven't heard it, how do you know that non-sentient beings expound the Dharma?" The national teacher said, "Fortunately, I haven't heard it. If I had, I would be the same as the sages, and you, therefore, would not hear the Dharma that I teach." "In that case, ordinary people would have no part in it," said the monk. "I teach for ordinary people, not sages," replied the national teacher. "What happens after ordinary people hear you?" asked the monk. "Then they are no longer ordinary people," said the national teacher. The monk, feeling quite puzzled here, asked, "According to which sutra does it say that non-sentient beings expound the Dharma?" The national teacher said, "Haven't you seen it in the Avatamsaka Sutra? It says the earth expounds Dharma, living beings expound it. Throughout the three times, everything expounds it." So this is the end of Dongshan's telling the story. Guishan said, that teaching also exists here. However, one seldom meets someone who's capable of understanding it. Dongshan said, I still don't understand it clearly. Would you please comment? Guishan raised his fly whisk, saying, do you understand? No, I don't. Please, Hoshang, explain, replied Dongshan. Guishan said, it can never be explained to you by means of the mouth of one born of mother and father. Dongshan asked, do you have any contemporaries in the way who might clarify this problem for me? Guishan said, from here, go to Yushan of Liling, where you'll find some linked caves. Living in those caves is a man of the way, Yunyan. If you're able to, quote, push aside the grass and gaze into the wind, then you will find him worthy of your respect, said Guishan. Just what sort of man is he? Asked Dongshan. Guishan replied, once he said to me, what should I do if I wish to follow the master? I replied, you must immediately cut off your defilements. He said, then will I come up to the master's expectation? This old monk replied, you'll get absolutely no answer as long as I am here. So poor Dongshan, you get the picture that he's got a deep, deep desire to address this question. It's really an important question for him. And he didn't quit. He took leave of Guishan and went to Yunyan. And that's where our koan begins. He actually had been studying with Guishan for a while. Guishan's dates were 771 to 853. So this is one of those long ago and far away stories. So he went to Yunyan and asked, when non-sentient beings preach the Dharma, what sort of people are able to hear it? Yunyan said, non-sentient beings are able to hear it. Dongshan asked, can't you hear it? Yunyan replied, if I could hear the preaching of the Dharma by non-sentient beings, then you would not be able to hear the Dharma that I preach. Why couldn't I hear the Dharma that you preach? Dongshan asked. Yunyan raised his fly whisk and said, well, do you hear this? Dongshan said, no, I don't hear anything. Yunyan said, you can't even hear it when I preach the Dharma. How do you expect to hear it when a non-sentient being preaches? Dongshan asked, in which sutra is it taught that non-sentient beings preach the Dharma? Yunyan replied, you mean you haven't read this? In the Amitabha Sutra, water, birds, trees, and forests, all without exception, recite the Buddha's name and preach the Dharma. The book says reflecting on this, but my understanding is more like this is what did it for him. This opened it for him. He composed the following verse. How extraordinary. The preaching of the Dharma by non-sentient beings is a mystery. If we listen for it only with the ear, there is no chance of hearing it. But when sound is heard with the eye, then it can be understood. seems Dongshan had been carrying this question about listening. About how could it be that non-sentient beings were preaching the Dharma, and how can we hear them? From the time he was a boy, the event that started him on his path happened when he was quite young. He was reading the Heart Sutra with his tutor. He came to the line, therefore, in emptiness, there is no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. He felt his face with his hand and said to his tutor, I have eyes, ears, a nose, a tongue, and so on. Why does the sutra say they don't exist? And the tutor was so struck by this. He said, I'm not capable of being your teacher, and sent him on to a master, to a monastery where he took the robe and shaved his head. So it's so beautiful the way his awakening gatha, how amazing. Hard to comprehend that non-sentient beings expound the Dharma. It simply cannot be heard with the ear. But when sound is heard with the eye, then it is understood. He finally found the deep response in himself to his original question. Question that we also have. Who will teach us now? How do we hear? The teaching that is present even in our own bodies. Is it possible we are hearing it all the time? Is it possible that it is supporting us? Our awakening. But this awakening that we're part of is always going on. Available to us all the time. What is it that we humans offer in return? Maybe even without knowing it.